just say really quickly to get started this morning, it's very interesting to think that 20 years ago there was this idea. I think Sarah came closest, somewhere like 19, maybe 18. There was, you know, something happens once in a while, you miss one, and she's helping out certainly with that now. I was thinking about Jackson. He's 17, but he's been to about 17 of these. Not aware of the first 10, probably. But was here because we were here. I think about what goes on here throughout the year. It's a lot like a really condensed camp. You know how you guys, when you go to camp, you spend all week together, you're spiritually encouraged, you go home with that, you think about it all year long. This is another one of those opportunities where what we talk about is important. It makes a difference in life. And hopefully when you leave, you've got something to keep in your mind to keep you going, to keep you moving. And that's been one of our major themes this week. Going through 1 Thessalonians, there's this idea that even when you're doing well, just keep moving. Keep doing more. If you're loving well, love more. If you're serving well, serve more. If you're walking with God, walk. And today, the text I was given, if you're standing with God, stand stronger. And I was going to stick with stand stronger, but I got something a little different we're going to do under that idea. And hopefully it will be something as you leave here will be on your mind to keep you faithful and thinking about God the rest of the year. So here's what we've got. Christianity is unique because we claim that the Lord we serve not only was God, but as God in flesh died for us. And it's really unique because not only do we claim that our Lord, the one we follow, died, but that He raised from the dead. And there's power in that belief. So I want you to think about the early Christians right now. You see, when Jesus came out of the grave, it was evidence that to follow Jesus was something that did not end at the cross. Now, the cross certainly was a great beginning point, but coming out of the tomb, Jesus declared that from now on, His followers are going to keep moving forward. And I want to take this moment that we have all of us together here and just think, this is a good time for you to think about going forward. What's that look like for you? You know, maybe there's some of you here, if you thought about it, you realize if you keep doing what you're doing right now, there's no way you're going to end up at your goal. And so evaluate that. Think about that. What needs to change? What needs to shift to keep going forward with Christ? Ask yourself, do I really want to just stay where I am? I mentioned yesterday, ruts are so easy to get into. Is this where you want to be? Or do you want to go further with Jesus? Do I have any goals? Do I have any dreams that I want to pursue? We know intuitively that if we want to get somewhere, we have to make goals, we have to keep those goals, we have to set a pace, or we just get stuck. And so, if one of your values, and I hope it is to become a closer follower of Jesus, stand stronger, to go further with Jesus, then I've got the perfect goal for you this morning, and this is it. I want you to get in the way. Now, typically, I understand we tell people to get out of the way, but this morning I want this to really stick in your mind. I want you to get in the way. I was thinking growing up, my dad taught me how to build houses. From the time I was about 8 years old, I'd follow him every summer into work, and I heard get out of the way many times a day, at least until I was a valuable worker. Get out of the way, get out of the way. But think about it this way. If you really want to make a goal, if you really want to stand strong with God, this is the perfect one. Get in the way. And so let me ask you a question to start. When it comes to the earliest Christ followers, what was the movement called? What did you call these people when it very first started? I know the first thing people usually think of is, well, they were called Christians. The reality is, God's followers, Christ's followers, were not called Christians till much later. There are places in the Bible when that's what they're called. In Acts chapter 11 at verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first. In Antioch, that wasn't something that they had been labeled before. This kind of shows up there. In Acts 26, at verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" What he's saying is a Christ follower. And so you see the name show up in a few places. 1 Peter 4:16 is the only other time in Scripture it shows up. And that is, if you suffer as a Christian or a Christ follower, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. But the reality is, that's not what they were called first. The movement, Christ followers, kind of took on this identity long before they were called Christians. And in the earliest days, people in and out of that movement were identified by a simple phrase. It was the way. If you followed Jesus, you were in the way. And there are a lot of implications to that term. I love that concept for what Christianity represents. But today I'm just going to share three of them with you. I hope you'll remember these. You'll commit to staying strong in the way. And so here's the first thing. The way, as first Christians saw it, was the only way to go. You see, becoming a Christian is not and never was about reaching a destination. It's not, I've acknowledged faith, I've been baptized, I've arrived. No. Becoming a Christian was and is beginning a journey. Starting out on a path. It's setting out in a new direction. It's to get in the way. And it seems like those early Christians really took the words of Jesus seriously. When Jesus said, I am the way. Becoming a Christian meant I'm in the way of Jesus Christ. You see, Christians embarked on the lifelong trek of learning to follow the way of Jesus. And I want to point out, it's very clear Jesus did not have two ways. There was not the kind of laid-back approach, put a little bit in, not too much. You know, if you're a casual follower, there's that way. And then if you really want to go nuts, there's this extreme version, and you can follow Jesus and sacrifice everything. There was not two ways when it came to following Jesus. He made it clear there was one way. And not only was there one way, but Jesus says quite plainly that it's a narrow way. And the reason it's narrow is because very few people actually choose to follow. The message version of Matthew 7:13, which I like to read once in a while. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. You know that usually as there's a narrow way and few enter. It's easier to go the way of the world, isn't it? But the way of Jesus Christ was always a vigorous, total attention way. And this makes it clear that most people choose not to get in the way because, frankly, they prefer to go their own way. And they don't mix. It's not the same. You see, if you get in the way, you're going to be out of step with most of the world. And that is why in the Bible, I want to show you a few cases here, where every time this phrase is used, it's used in the context of conflict. Let me take you through a few passages here. Starting in Acts chapter 9, you talk about conflict. What's Saul doing in Acts chapter 9? Well, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. If you were in the way, at that point in time, you were in danger. But they chose this. It says he went to the high priest and he asked him for letters of the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them to prisons in Jerusalem. Well, if you were in the way, you were not only different than the world, you were not only in conflict with the world, you were in trouble. And on this particular trip, Saul meets Jesus. He went to look at people in the way. And he got in the way of Jesus. Jesus converts Saul and he becomes the Apostle Paul. And now he's a man dedicated to following the resurrected Lord instead of bringing prisoners to Jerusalem. And in Acts 19, Paul enters the synagogue and he speaks boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate, refused to believe, and publicly maligned the way. Let's just think about the context of that. That still happens today. It happens in foreign countries and it happens right here at home, doesn't it? There are people, when you say, I'm in the way of Jesus Christ, I'm following Jesus, that are obstinate, they refuse to believe, and they publicly malign the way. And in that same chapter, just a little bit further down in verse 23, as the teaching of Jesus reaches Ephesus, it says, about that time there rose a great disturbance about the way. Look, the way was not about making people happy and telling them what they want to hear. And if you follow God, He'll make you rich, He'll make you healthy, He'll make you wise. No, the way was all about this context of conflict. And it was not uncommon in that age for someone to walk up to you in the street and say, you in this way. Paul was on trial in Acts 22 at verse 4. And he says there, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. You know, it was very costly to be in the way in the early days. And later on another trial, Paul actually says in Acts 24, verse 14, but I will tell you this, I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way of Jesus. The others say the way of Jesus is not the right way. And so here's the point. In New Testament times, and in much of the world today, getting in the way would get you in a lot of trouble. And so the question I want to ask you, especially young people this morning, is this. Why would they do it? Why would you put your life in jeopardy? Why risk so much to be in this way? And I've just got two reasons for you this morning that I think would be convicting. And I want you to pay close attention. Because these two reasons are the foundation of what Christ has built His church on. In fact, when I think about it, these two reasons, almost every sermon I preach center around these two reasons. So pay close attention. It's going to be important. Here's reason number one. They got in the way because they believed that Jesus was the only way to God. I want to flesh that out a little bit for you this morning. All religions are attempting to answer this question. How can people find a way back to God? All religions are doing that at some level. And the earliest Christians were willing to go to jail. They were willing to forfeit their property. They were willing even to die for the belief that there was just one way to get to God and that Jesus was that way. Like I said, they believed the words of Jesus. When He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. Now, unlike other religious founders, Jesus did not say, I'll show you the way. That's what Buddha says. That's what Muhammad says. But Jesus didn't say, I'm here just to point the way or show the way. And He did not come and say, I am a way to God. You see, He unequivocally and controversially says, I am the only way back to God. And you may not like that. That might sound too narrow or exclusive or intolerant to you. But I'll tell you this, it's convicting to read the New Testament and see that these early Christians believed it so much, they were willing to go to prison and they were willing to die. And that's why, by the way, they traveled the known world and spread the gospel everywhere they went. It was a mission mandate. Everywhere they went, they spread this message. There is one way to God, and it is the way of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand that when they went to other countries, they did not go to other countries because those countries didn't have religion. All the places they went had religion. You think about this. Everywhere they traveled to spread the way of Jesus Christ, those countries had religions, they had temples, they had priests, they had holy books. But the Christians would go to all of these places and they would show up and they would say to the people, listen, it's time for you to stop your own way to get to God and get in the way of Jesus Christ, because it's the only way back to God. You see, the Gospels made it clear that all other ways fall short of the glory of God. I heard this story a few years back and I thought it was interesting. This is a battle not many people heard about. There was a bridge that was built in China over the sea, and China was very proud of this bridge. They said, I think we've set a world record. This is the largest, longest sea bridge. And I'd give you the name, but I can't say it. Well, it didn't take long before our friends in Louisiana said, no, that's not the longest bridge. We actually have the longest sea bridge over here. And I'd give you that name, but Cajun's just as bad as Chinese for me. It's like almost the same. So this battle starts up. And then our friends in China call back. And they say, no, listen, our bridge is actually over the sea. Yours is over a lake. And so it's not even the same thing. Ours is the largest sea bridge. And it didn't drop there. Louisiana calls back. Say, listen. Our bridge that goes over a lake is a lake that goes into the sea, so it is a sea bridge. And this was going on for a while. And I just want to point out to you, that's what religion does. Religion is trying to build a bridge back to God. And every religion says the same thing. our way of getting back to God is better than any other way of getting back to God. But the Bible tells us that every bridge we try to build back to God is too short. God has to build the bridge or it doesn't work. And the bridge he built with one man on two blood-soaked beams. And that's it. It's the way. And so we have this passage in Hebrews 10:19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is His body. That's the way. You see, if other ways could get you back to God, why would Jesus have ever been born? He had a really nice home. He was taken care of where he was at. Why be born into this sin-cursed world? Why be born in such a humble and lowly way? Even a better question, why die? I mean, if any way was just as good as another, why live your life? And the reason is, Jesus understood. He would be the only way back to God. You remember in Gethsemane, just before he went to the cross, he prayed, my Father, if there's any other way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want, you. What do you want? And so, let me just kind of sum up for you what all this looks like in a few sentences from the book of Romans. Here's the gospel in a few sentences. Paul writes in Romans 3, verse 21, now, God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. That's some bridge. That is the bridge that will fit every soul on it. If you come through Jesus Christ, all welcome. Verse 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, notice, yet God. God does this, not us. We are saved by God's work, not ours. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sin. Look, you're going to be hard-pressed to find any religious leader or founder who ever said, I am qualified to take away all your sins. You find some religious leaders that say some crazy stuff. But you'll be hard-pressed to find someone that says that. You see, you find one voice saying, I will take away the sins of the world. And as Paul mentioned, all of Scripture said that would happen. Pointed the way to this Lamb of God. And the early Christians believed so much that Jesus was the only way back to God that they would go to jail. They would give up their property. Yes, they'd even be willing to die. Now, that's what drives everything we do as a church. But one of our core convictions here is just get in the way. It is so absolutely, profoundly believed throughout Christianity that when we see it, we recognize they believed it so much they were willing to give it all. So it's true. Point one, Christians were willing to die for that conviction. But the second point I really want you to think about, not only were New Testament Christians willing to die for this, I love, they thought it was the only way to live. It's one thing to say, Jesus is everything, I'm ready to die right now. Most of us, God raises us from the death of baptism into new life, and He says, I want you to stay here now. And so what's crucial is not just that they were willing to die, but this was the way they chose to live their lives. So please, for the next several minutes here, I need you to listen very hard. And please, give me the benefit of the doubt, because it might sound like I'm angry. And I'm not. I'm not mad at anybody right now. I love you so much that I have to say a few things that might step on a few toes. And know this, I'm an equal toe stepper. I'm going to step on some of my own toes as well. So you ready? The second reason they got in the way was because they absolutely believed that Jesus was the best way to live. They didn't just think that Jesus was an expert on life after the grave. They didn't just follow Jesus and say, oh, you know, when I die, then things are going to be great. He'll take care of everything there. No, they believed that Jesus was the absolute authority on how to be alive before the grave. And you see it all over the Bible. In other words, they didn't just think, well, you know, Jesus will be my Savior when I pass from this earth. No, they believed until I die, Jesus is there. He's my Lord. He directs my steps. He'll tell me where to go. They believed that Jesus was smart. Even though what Jesus said was often in direct conflict with the wisdom of the day. So let me give you some examples. Jesus says, how many clothes you have? You got a lot of coats. You know, there are a lot of people who don't have any coats. Well, why don't you give your coat to somebody else? You're not going to miss it. It would do somebody some good. And people hear Jesus say that and they're like, are you kidding me? If I start living like that, people are going to take advantage of me. I won't have anything left if this is the way we're going to go. That way doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, you know, people are going to hurt you in this life. They're going to say things to you that are mean, that are cruel, that are unkind, hurtful. And I want you to pray for them. I actually want you to talk to your Father about those people. Love them. I want you to say nice things to them, even when they've said hurtful things to you. And if you've got the chance, I want you to do nice things for them. And people hear Jesus say that, and they're like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? You're going to get run over in life if that's your approach. But that's why we have what we call the fine print. It's so people can't take advantage of us, can't hurt us. We protect ourselves. That's not a very smart way to live. If you get slapped in the cheek, you better slap back. Defend yourself, or you'll get destroyed by others. Jesus said, why are you struggling with the same sin? Why don't you get serious about this? You want to follow me? It's time that you do something about it. Don't you want to be well? You cut off your right hand. You pluck out your eye. You deal with the problem. And we say, what? I don't want to do anything that would make me look radical or different. I mean, if I take sin that serious, people are going to think something's wrong with me. I don't want to ever appear uncomfortable in front of other people. And Jesus says, well, why do you stress and worry so much? What is all this fretting about? Why do you store up so much? Why don't you let God be your security? Let me just ask you, anybody got a financial advisor that would give them that advice? He'd say, no, that's awful. You need to save up as much as you got. You need to take as much advantage as you can. You know, letting God take care of your finances, that's just crazy. So what happens in all of this is we create some kind of shallow version of following Jesus where it's very important to say you believe in Jesus and count on Him to save your soul, but it's not important to actually live in the way that Jesus lived, because frankly, we come up thinking Jesus just isn't all that smart. I'll tell you what, people say all the time, the way Jesus wants me to live is just too sacrificial. And if you're there, you're right. Jesus said, look, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, save it. So here's the question. And I want you to wrestle with this. I really want you to think about this. Do I think the way of Jesus Christ is really the better way to live? Is it? It's extreme. It's different. But is it really the best way to live? Do you believe this? And I'll just go through a couple things that'll help us see this. Man says, I don't have feelings for my wife anymore. Actually, I've developed feelings for another woman. Now, I know what the way of Jesus says, but I'm just so unhappy. And I think God would want me to be happy. And so I'm going to file for divorce. Young couple, getting started in life says, you know, we need a bigger house, we need nicer cars, we need to get more and more into debt because that is the American way. I know it means that we can't be as generous as we'd like to be, and certainly it means when needs come up in the church, we won't be able to help. But that's just our way. A young man or woman says, you pull my leg. You actually think I'm supposed to be inactive sexually until I'm married? That's not the way people live today. That's outdated. That's old. It's unfair for you to expect that from me. I believe Jesus, but I'm going to live my way. Or the young couple that drinks socially and says, you know, look, we'll be honest with you. There are times we drink too much. But we're responsible. We plan on that. We know what to do. We're accountable for those things. And look, I know what the Bible says, that drunkenness is a sin. But get real. That's just the way it is today. I want to just tell you right now, those are not hypotheticals. Those are real conversations I've had over the years with real people. And every one of them said they were in the way of Jesus Christ. They were in the church. And so here's my question to all of you sitting here today. Is it possible to be in the church yet out of the way? I'll tell you what, we have in America produced a version of Christianity that is so shallow and so watered down that it doesn't require anything of anyone except that you be nice and don't judge anybody. And I got to tell you, it's out of the way. The consequence is this stale, powerless discipleship. And I want so much more for you. I want you to look at what the early Christians did. They gave it all up because Jesus was thing. Not in theory. It wasn't just fun to sing about here. Every day they lived for a risen Lord because they hope to live with Him after death and they hope to please Him in life. And you can have that. It's exciting. It's countercultural. It's against your nature. But it is the best way to live. I just give this illustration that I think is interesting. I'd heard a while ago about a bike race in India. I tried to find a picture of this. It's a bike race in India, where the winner of the race is the one that goes the least amount of distance. And so what happens is they all line up and the gun fires and you're trying to balance yourself on this bike. If your foot touches, you're out. If you've gone too far, you've gone too far. It's the one who's gone the least distance without falling over who's win. I want to ask you, you know any Christians like that? Are you a Christian like that? But I'm not trying to make anybody mad. But it's a good moment to ask ourselves a very good question. If you weren't following Jesus today, how different would your life be? Think about it. If your answer is not that much, I got some news for you. Following Jesus is a hobby to you. I'll just be as clear as I can. You've got a lame hobby. Get a real hobby. Go play golf. It'll drive you nuts. Go sew something or build something. I mean, get a real hobby if you just want a hobby. But don't say following Jesus is your hobby. Because followers of Jesus are supposed to live a way that doesn't make much sense unless Jesus is really smart. And we're following Jesus deeper and deeper into this very incredible yet strange way of life. Because we believe doing that is the way to be most fully alive, most truly joyful, the most deeply fulfilled. Because Jesus is really smart. And so we get in the way and we stay in the way and we spend our lives taking steps in the way to be more like Him. Got a couple of illustrations just to drive this home. I want you guys to go and keep going and keep going and keep going. And I read this article and I love the story. This woman's name is Joy Johnson. Interesting story. At the age of 61, she ran her first New York City Marathon. And she ran for the next 25 years. Did you guys put that together? That means at the age of 86, she ran her 25th New York Marathon. And her daughter told the story of that last marathon. She ran just under 8 hours. Went back to her hotel room, didn't even take her shoes off, laid down in her bed, died in her sleep. And her daughter said, that's exactly how mom would want to go. And I think about us, folks. Don't quit. Don't stop. I'm not talking about physical exercise. I'm saying get in the way and stay in the way. Push yourself. Go further. Don't stop. It's not too late. If you've been putting this off for years, it's not too late to say from this day forward, God gets 100%. Because God blesses that. Get in it. Stay in it. I got one more illustration here. I love this. This happened about two springs ago, and you may have seen they've actually done an E30 on this, or 60 or whatever it is. Orville is an incredible man. Orville Rogers, he turned 100 about two springs ago, which is a big deal, turning 100. But what you may not know about Orville is he owns 13 U.S. track and field records in his age group. All right, that's important to know. He actually owns every single record for a man 95 to 99. They call that the lightning group. Well, two springs ago, during an annual track event, he signed up to run the 60-yard dash. And there was nobody his age to compete with, and so he had to run against a much younger 96-year-old Dixon, or 92-year-old at the time. And so here's the race. And I want you to watch this, because this should inspire you to realize, don't stop, keep going. And so I can call it really slow. It's and they're off. Is the way that goes. And if you notice, Orville's here at the bottom. He got a really bum start. It was said later, Dixon forgot his glasses, so he's wearing prescription sunglasses during this race. But Orville's on the outside. Look at him make that spin. 100 years old. And he's turning it on now. And with just a lane, he wins. Finishes 0.05 seconds in front of Dixon. 100-year-old champion. I mean, that's inspiring, isn't it? He actually just ran the rematch this last year. Dixon got him. But here's my point. My whole life, I've watched people put their faith in Jesus Christ who died for them and live differently than everybody else around them. They stretch their faith. They push their faith because they know Jesus didn't just die to get me to heaven. He died so I could share heaven while I lived. And I've been influenced by these people. Willing to go deeper, further in following Jesus in life. And I want every one of you to know that every day, that's your choice. You're going to go further in the way? Have a stronger faith? Stand firm with Jesus? Or are you going to get out of the way? See, whether you're aware of it or not, you're doing this already every day. When you've been cut off in traffic, you decide if you're in the way or out of the way. And I'll tell you, there's something about someone else getting in your way that'll pull you out of the way too. Be careful. You are in the way. When the coach doesn't play your kid as much as you'd like him to. When that obnoxious coworker says something rude, and you know they're going to say it. Are you in the way? Every day we have opportunities to bless someone, to serve someone, to give to someone. And the question is, will we do what Jesus did? He conquered death so we would have the power to live a new kind of life, to put us in the way. And I want to just make sure we all know this. He is really smart. What he says works. Now, I don't want to mislead you. It will cost you. Just like in the first century, it'll cost you to be in the way. But it'll cost you so much more in your relationship with God to get out of the way. Because there is no other way to God but Jesus Christ. Andre Drummond is a basketball player for the Detroit Pistons. Professional athletes run into what we call fanatics all the time. Fan's a nice word. Fanatic is what it is. And after his rookie year, he had gotten this random tweet from some crazed fan who said, I'll give someone $1,000 if they can tell me one thing Andre Drummond has improved since his rookie year. It's hard to be under that kind of pressure, but here's what Andre Drummond replied back. He said, my faith in Christ. Are you improving your faith? I get right now, school's about to start. You want to improve your grades. You want to improve your standing on the team. You want to get into the right school. You want to have the right job. You want to meet the right person. Let me just tell you, none of that makes any difference if you've gotten out of the way. Improve your faith. Seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added to you. Are you improving your faith? Are you going deeper with Jesus because He came to die for our sins. But He lives so we can live for Him. I remember my uncle used to say this all the time, and it made me think about this lesson. He said, you know, being a Christian, it's the best way to live, but it's the only way to die. And I'm inspired when I read about the early Christians who followed Jesus in the fear of danger and death, but I am equally inspired that they believed Jesus so much that they realized He was worth living for too. And I just want to give this final encouragement. Young people, we held you accountable yesterday. It's your faith right now. You're making the decision. Are you going to finish with Jesus? Then you better get racing now. You got tough conversations you need to have with your friends, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You need to have those conversations with Christ with you. Make a stand. Stand with Jesus. Get in the way. You need to be different at school, in your community, maybe even in the operation of your own family, because Jesus does that. His way is different. But you need to be solid about that. And I encourage you, whatever you're doing now, it's well, but do better. Do more. Go further with God. Now I got a few parents here, and I want to tell you this. Don't you ever stop pulling your child back into the way, because since the day they arrived on this planet, Satan wanted them. And you fight for them. And you call them back to a standard. Parents, be the mean one if you got to be the mean one. It isn't fun to hear there's one way, but you be the voice of reason. Don't ever quit. Don't ever stop. And church, you look out for one another. One of the greatest things Christ creates in this kingdom is a family. And the family is all connected to this desire to live for Jesus and be with Jesus forever. You see someone slipping, you stop and talk to them. Say, hey, you're getting out of the way. Get in it. Because there is no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Thanks for your attention this morning.